So welcome to the Naval Academy. So, you know, I thought the Navy, just their sole purpose was to rescue people. And then I sat next to a girl who's in the Navy who says, no, we're to protect our shores. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what do? If someone's drowning, do you say, sorry, you need to call the Coast Guard. We're not gonna pick you up, right? But then I looked it up last night, and there are countless stories of the Navy rescuing people. The Navy rescuing people who are lost at sea. Yes, their job is to protect our seas and protect our country, and they do such an amazing job at it. So thank you for those who are serving, if there's any of you here today who are serving. But they are responsible for all operations at sea. They are responsible for all operations at sea. And that does not exclude rescuing. And we have that same responsibility. We as shipmates, and that's what they're called. They're called midshipmen or shipmates. We are shipmates on this boat headed to salvation, headed to eternal shores, right? We have that same responsibility to rescue those who are perishing at sea. I thought about how we are all on this boat, all of us, because we're all believers. I hope we're all believers here, and if we're not, then, you know, I'm hoping that you're hearing the gospel and you want to get on this boat with us. But we are on this boat headed for the golden shores of salvation. We're headed there, and our job is to throw out that life vest, to throw out that lifesaver to those who are perishing. And that's really what we're going to do today. We're going to learn, how do we do that? I get that I'm on the boat. I get that Jesus died and for our sins, and he resurrected, right, for us so that we can so we can reach those shores of salvation. But what do I do now? Sometimes we could just focus so much on the boat that we're not noticing the people off in the sea perishing. So we're going to learn that today. We're going to learn how to share our faith. In some of us, it might be a time to refresh and retrain on how to throw out that life vest. We are going to just touch a few ways, okay? Because there's many ways to share our faith. There's many ways, just like apologetics and those things on creation, right? We're just going to taste a drop of the ocean this morning, just a drop, in comparison to the depth of how God's word is so infinite and true. Because we can go on for months and weeks and days talking about how we can share our faith. We're just going to talk about a few of those things. Okay, so we're going to stop, and we're going to take a moment. And we're going to take a moment to think about those people that we know who are drowning. And I know that's uncomfortable. Your friends, your coworkers, maybe some of your family, maybe your neighbors. We need to realize this, and I know, again, it's uncomfortable, but there are people who are perishing. This is reality. This is reality. And when we are reminded of this, sometimes it helps us to remember that we were once those lost people. We were once those lost people. We can be sure that the majority of us here have one thing in common, that we have already been rescued. We have already been rescued. You see, at one point, we were drowning at sea. We were lost, right? And let's be straight up here. We were going to hell, right? We were lost. We were going to hell. And to make this more relative, we were drowning in the desert. We were drowning in the desert. The story of our rescue is our testimony. And that's what we're going to learn how to do today. I think it's so amazing as you think about how powerful the testimony, your testimony is. Jess talked about it, and so did Kristen. Our testimony is just as powerful as the blind man in John 9:25, where he says, I was blind and now I can see. Our testimony is just as strong and as powerful as that story. It's just as powerful as the woman at the well. Do you remember that story? When Jesus came up to her, met her where she was at, just like he met us where we were at. Our story is just as powerful. And what I love about it is this is his testimony. I'm going to jump back for a minute. For the blind man in 9:25, he says, "I was blind, now I can see." 5 words, really. That was his testimony. Hers was, "He knew everything about me." Do you remember that? The woman at the well, she shouted to everyone, "He knew everything about me, and yet he still loves me." So powerful. Our testimony is just as powerful as that. And I love what Jesus did. He met her there, and that's a true picture of evangelism. He met her where she was at. He kindly and affectionately and gently showed her where her sin was and her sin lifestyle. And then he showed her how much she needed him, right? He did that for us. He did that for us. She came to the well for water, and she left with life. And we've done the exact same thing. Can you tell your story of your rescue? Well, we're going to learn how to do that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3:15. And it just says here, I want you to take out a pen and just underline a few things because this became alive to me, alive to me. 1 Peter 3:15. It's towards the back of the book. This whole entire book of 1 Peter is amazing. It says here, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared." Underline always being prepared, or write it down or jot it down. Always being prepared. "To make a defense." Go ahead and underline defense. "To anyone," anyone who asks you, anyone, underline anyone, "for your reason for hope." And underline "for your reason for hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." That passage goes on, and it's really powerful, but this is basically saying we have to be ready to share our hope. We need to be ready to tell people out there what happened on this weekend, what happened during this retreat. We need to be ready to tell people our reason for Jesus, our reason for hope. And one way we can do that is preparing our testimony. So I know most of you have probably, shared your testimony. But we're going to learn how really quickly, okay? So go ahead, and we're going to be jotting this down. This is a training time. We're going to train how to give our testimony. So there's some notes, and you can put this in the back of your Bible, or you can just write it on a sheet of paper. Our testimony is when God gives you the opportunity to share what Jesus has done for you. And it's pretty helpful, when you think ahead of time of what to say. This way, our testimony can be more communicated. And then this is going to be a typical structure of how to do your testimony. So it's right here. Before. Write down the word before. Before. Three points on how to share your testimony before. Before, this is what my life was like before I met Jesus. Just like the woman at the well, this is what my life was like before I went to that well to meet Jesus. You're going to share how you used to be, maybe problems that you were experiencing, maybe a lifestyle that you were living. That's how you share before you met Jesus. The next word is how I met Jesus. These are the circumstances. This is how I came to the place of saying yes to Jesus. So you're going to say this is before I met Jesus, and then this is the moment how I met Jesus. And then lastly is since. Since. Before, how, and since. Since I met Jesus, this is how my life has been. And you're not going to say, well, now I'm perfect, right? Now I'm perfect, and I know all things, and my life is a cakewalk, and I won the lottery, right? You're not going to say that. You're going to say, this is how I was before. This is how I met Jesus, and this is how my life is now. It's radically changed. I'm a new creation. And you can go on and on and on. Before I became a Christian, how I became a Christian, and since I've been a Christian. So I pondered on whether I was going to share my testimony, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Well, let me start back in 1976. No, I'm just kidding. I met Jesus. I knew of Jesus. I found out about Jesus at junior high camp in the middle of Sierra Vista in Calvary Chapel Junior High Camp that had no air conditioner and no, like, real food. It was like that, you know, powder milk, and it was just disgusting, right? But I met Jesus there. I knew of Jesus there. I knew of Jesus, and the reason why I say that, you'll know in a minute, I knew Jesus there in junior high. And in high school, I completely drifted away. I played a really good game. Grew up at Calvary Tucson. Didn't really go to youth group or anything, but showed up on Sunday, so I'm a Christian, right? Ended up getting pregnant at 18 and married the very next week as a child. And really, my life then was so lonely. So lonely. My identity was in my husband at the time. My identity was in other people at the time. And I was just running away from God. Ended up divorced at an early age with two kids, and I was a single mom, and really was just, it pushed me down even a darker road, and I knew how to play the game. I even called myself a Christian, told my partying friends I was a Christian, and I continued to play a really good game, to the world. And at one point, I woke up in the middle of the night at the age of 23, single mom, and I just said, I can't do this anymore. The middle of the night, I just woke up out of sleep. I can't do it anymore. Just got on my face and said, I'm done. I'm done living for myself. I'm done running away from you. And that's the point that I knew him. That's the point that I started knowing him. Not just knew about him, but that's the time I started knowing him. And I'm still knowing him. It's just so amazing. So, that's my testimony in a nutshell. And I met my husband at church, and life has been grand. No, just kidding. I met my husband at church a couple years later, and I'm still growing. I just grew this weekend. You know, I'm growing today. And I will never stop growing until I meet my Savior in heaven, at those golden shores. I will never stop growing. And that is okay to say to anybody that you share your testimony with. All right, so a few tips on sharing your testimony, because there's ways not to share your testimony, okay? So I did that in maybe 5 minutes, right? I didn't go on for several hours, right? So your testimony shouldn't be phony or contrived, right? As exciting as it would have been for me to say I was part of a motorcycle game and I was the head of Hell's Angels, and look at me now, you never would have guessed, right? No. You do not want to contrive or doctor up your testimony, right? Because listen, even if that story was true, even if I was a Hell's Angel, which I'm not, even if I was, it would be just as powerful as my real testimony. Why? Because I've been rescued. I've been rescued. It's the same, right? I was rescued from living for myself. I was rescued from the prison of selfishness. I was rescued from insecurity. I was rescued from loneliness. And I was rescued from thinking, is this all to life has to offer? I was rescued from the fire. I was rescued from hell. Number two, you do not want to memorize it, right? Then you'll just sound like a robot, and how powerful is that, right? But you find that it will help if you start writing it down. If you start writing it down and practice it with someone. That way, when it comes time to tell someone for real, you're more comfortable doing it, okay? And Kristen said something really cool. She said, go ahead and do that tonight. Try doing that tonight. And then you want to be able to share it in 3 minutes, right? It's a good goal to aim for, right? You want to cut it down to the important elements, just like I did, right? And you can elaborate if you need to in any particular situation. If I'm talking to someone else in this room, I might elaborate that I was a single mom and everything that I went through during that time. So you can elaborate as the Holy Spirit leads. I remember back in the day when I started sharing my testimony, Pastor Pete actually showed me how to do it. I started, I was 3 hours long. And I was I was born on a sunny day in 1976, right? And you just wonder if they're okay, just tell me about Jesus already. It's 5 o'clock. You just want to keep it, to the important elements. And you don't have to do that on your own. Because God and the Holy Spirit will lead you however he plans to do that. And that's okay. And that's okay. Number four. The Holy Spirit, again, dwells inside of you. The moment you were rescued, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. The moment you ask Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You don't have to make this stuff up on your own. You don't have to doctor it up on your own. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you. And I know if you've already shared your testimony, you know when that happens. And you're like, what did I just say? I should have recorded it. He is your internal guide for witnessing. God could speak to you through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will put a very strong impression on your mind that you may speak to a certain person. Go ahead and follow through with it. Many times you'll find that the Holy Spirit has been preparing them and they're ready to hear your testimony of what Jesus did for you. Finally, people won't argue with your story. You are the expert of your own life. And often they'll listen. And I just want to note one more thing on this portion of your testimony. It is important for your testimony to be backed up with good apologetics. Okay? With good apologetics. What if they said, how do you know Christ was raised from the dead? And then you're going to say, well, you know what? I just came from a retreat. And I know that 500 people saw him, and there's many, many witnesses, and the disciples saw him, and there is evidence, there is proof, there is archaeological proof, there's historical proof. We can't argue with this, okay? Good apologetics, and you can do that on your own. You can go to apologetics class. You could get the case for Christ, right? I love the case for creation. It's a really easy read, and you're able, the Holy Spirit will bring all those things back into your mind. Okay, so we're done with our testimony. There's an important difference between sharing your testimony with the person and sharing the gospel with someone. These are complementary but different, okay? Your testimony is what Christ has done for you. Write that down. Your testimony is what Christ has done for you, or done for me, right? The gospel is explaining what Christ has done for them. Christ has done for them, to the person that you're witnessing to. And I know when we think of the word witness, we're thinking, okay, Bible, backpack, bike, right? That's not witnessing. Don't be afraid of that word. That's not witnessing. That's works. That's works. The Bible says witnessing is this, if I can find it. Someone who is able to testify what he or she has seen and experienced. Someone that can testify what he or she has experienced as a record. And it's also translated as a martyr. The Gospels did this. The disciples did this. They were witnessing. They were witnesses. They had witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection. And he came to them before he ascended into heaven, right? To the 500, and then at the mountain of Galilee. We're going to talk about this next point here, our rescue mission. What happened in Matthew 28? So we're going to turn there because I'm so excited about this part. We're going to look at the disciples and how they witnessed and what they did. So Matthew 28:16. If we could get that on the screens. Matthew 28:16. It's coming. But if you could turn there, that would be great. Get your pen out, because you're going to mark this thing up. Okay. I'm going to put you on the scene here. The disciples had just realized and seen Jesus go to the cross, die, and he has just been resurrected. Remember, the angel rolls away the stone. The women come up looking for him, and the angel says to the women, go and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen, and he wants to meet you at the mountains of Galilee. Well, this is what happens. Those witnesses, those disciples that just witnessed what Jesus did. Put yourself on the scene here. You are the disciple. You have just been walking with Jesus for years. And now he has just carried the cross to Calvary. He has just died. He has just been buried. And now he has just been resurrected. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, what is happening? This is everything he said that would happen. This is unreal. This is where the disciples are at this point. They're blown away. And then the women come up to him and say, hey, we just saw Jesus. And they're like, no way. You're kidding, right? We just saw Jesus. Go to the mountain. He's going to meet you there. And he's met them there on several occasions. He even ate with them, actually, after he was resurrected and before he ascended into heaven. So we're going to go to Matthew 28, okay? The 11 disciples went to Galilee. They went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. So you're going up the mountain to Galilee now, right? When they saw him, they worshiped him. And some doubted. Note to self on this, some doubted. Because some of those disciples doubted, and they were the disciples. Remember we talked about last night? Have you ever doubted? Perhaps it was that they were just so shaken up, like, how could this be? Am I seeing the true risen Christ? And they were humans, just like us, and doubts went through their head, but they worshiped. When you start to doubt, dig into the Word. When you start to doubt, dig into the Word, and you'll find yourself worshiping. You'll find yourself worshiping, and you'll naturally start to worship. Then at verse 18, and Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, underline go, circle it, highlight it, heart it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, not some things, all things, that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. We're going to break this up really quickly. Jesus came to them and said, in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is saying all authority, all, not some, all. Everything on this earth, everything in this world, everything in heaven and on earth has been given to me, all of it. Now I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you to go. Go. Go means go. Go means now. Go doesn't mean wait. Go means go. Right? This is for us. If we call ourselves Christ followers, if we call ourselves disciples, because a disciple is a follower of Christ, then this is what he's telling us to do. go. It's called the Great Commission. It's not a suggestion, and it's not if you want to go, and it's not if you feel like going. It's go. Go. Rescue people from the raging sea. Rescue people from the raging sea. Not only to convert them, but to make disciples of them. Let's look at disciples, underline disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He didn't say just go, and he didn't just leave a period there and then left. He said make disciples. He tells us what to do. Make disciples. What does that mean? A disciple is a learner and a follower. A learner and a follower of Jesus. Make followers and continue to help them follow. Notice it doesn't say just make converts. But making a disciple means to follow up. It means walking with them, discipling them, doing Bible studies with them, meeting them for coffee, praying for them, helping them to dive into the Word with you, right? Jesus did this very thing. He told the disciples things, and then he would spend time with them and explain it. How cool is that, right? Teaching them to observe all things, so you're going to circle observe. And why this is important, because you're going to teach them to observe all things. Not some things, all things of the Word. All things that Jesus has commanded us to do. All things, not some things. Okay, so this sounds great, right? And you're like, okay, I could totally do this, but how? Jesus says, I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. You don't have to do this alone. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Well, how will I go? Because I'm with you. Because I filled you with my Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth. And that includes Tucson. That includes Tucson, because we're in the earth, right? It means Africa, like Eloi goes to Africa. It means California. It means wherever you go, you will be his witness by the power of the Holy Spirit, not on your own, to throw out that life vest, to save people from the raging sea of death, right? He has equipped us with the trainer, who is the Holy Spirit, right? The helper, someone inside us who knows everything about everything. He has committed himself to be your teacher and your helper, your captain, and to lead you into all truth. Our job is to be the witnesses of Christ, and it doesn't mean that it's our job to save them, because it's the Spirit of God that will lead people to Christ, right? We need to stop living off the past. And the only reason I say that is because my husband said, when's the last time you shared your faith? And I'm like, February? Now. Go now. I can get so caught up in myself that I can't even see the people drowning beside me. I don't even notice the lost. We need to make this a reality. If I'm sitting on the boat, will I even notice that someone's drowning? This is not shame, shame. This is go, go. Go, go. May it be because we are so in love with the Lord, because we love him with all our soul, mind, and strength, and because he has rocked our world. We've got to tell somebody. We just got to tell somebody. Then we naturally will desire to do his will and to go and make disciples. We will naturally do that. We will naturally want to reach as many people as we can because we are so in love with him. And then we naturally find ourselves on the same boat with the body of Christ. We're all here as a body of Christ on the same boat, heading to the shores of eternity for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ. Now that we are equipped with our rescue, right, our own testimony, and we know our rescue mission, which is the Great Commission, now we just need to know how to share the rescuer, which is Jesus. And I had Romans Road up here, but I got to get flying and going on this boat. So we're going to go to John 3:16 really quick. Romans Road, and I'd like you to at least jot this down or go through the entire book of Romans for homework, but it gives you, for homework, not tonight, no, it will be due tomorrow at 8:30. go through Romans. Go through Romans at home. Go through Romans Road at home, and you can jot that down. Just go through the entire Romans. You're going to see that you're going to be able to just go through scriptures like Romans 3, Romans 6, Romans 5, Romans 10, Romans 3, 6, 5, and 10. Go through those, and it will tell you exactly how to lead somebody to salvation, right? By receiving Christ as their personal Savior. So we're going to go to John 3:16 really quick, and we're going to make this super easy. Jess had already talked about, for God so that he that shall not, right, whosoever. For God so loved the world that he loved every single person in the world. Every single person. You can break this down and it's the gospel. For God so loved the world, the entire world, including people in Tucson, including people all over the world, that he gave his only son, who is Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He died for our sins. He resurrected. And he's coming back again. That whosoever, anybody... You don't have to go over the boat and say, okay, what kind of sin do you have? Sorry, I can't rescue you, right? Because whosoever, anybody who chooses Christ is whosoever, that is somebody, that is anybody. Whosoever is anybody, anybody. Anybody who believes in me, anybody can believe in him, shall not perish, shall not go to hell, shall not perish in their sin, but have eternal life. And that's the gospel. I'm going to sum it up with just a few things, practical ways that you can share your faith. First of all, you want to pray for people. Pray. Ask for God to give you the opportunity to share your faith. If you're not looking, then how can you see someone drowning, right? Once you've made a relationship with someone, obviously, you're praying for them. Introduce them to your Christian friends. It's really easy to do. Introduce them to your Christian friends. You can share your story with them. You can ask, this is a really good one, with your non-Christian friends. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Is it okay if I pray for you? You can ask them that. Be sensitive to people because your values have changed, right? And you may seem weird, but that's okay. Just don't be pushy or rude, right? Don't be pushy or rude. And don't be afraid of not knowing all the answers. Because you know what? I don't know all the answers. But I know that there's an apologetics class at church. I know that there's a new believers class. I know that there's a women's Bible study. Plug, right? There's a little plug. There's a women's Bible study. Come with me. I want to dive in the Word with you together. I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect. I'm still growing. Let's do this together. And finally, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. 2 Timothy says, and I don't have it up there, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join me with the sufferings for the gospel by the power of God. That's what Paul says to us. That's what Paul says to us. You are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. What good is holding onto a life vest without throwing it out? That's our commission. I'm almost done here, but this one particular quote by, I believe it was Spurgeon, rocked me to my core as I was preparing for this. It says, before we can be a winner of souls, we first must be weeper of souls. Before we can be a winner of souls, we first must be a weeper of souls. And I've been weeping over a friend of mine that's very, very close. I can't imagine. She is not ready to receive Jesus. I've shared with her. I've talked with her. I've prayed with her. I've displayed the gospel with her. And she's not ready. And I can't imagine seeing her perish. But I will not stop. And I will continue to pray. Jesus called out very imperfect disciples, and we are all very imperfect. And he said, go. So I'm going to show a video here, and before it starts, I just wanted to tell you this. I hope that you're encouraged to share your faith. I'm hoping that this is a reality. Not just to share for the sake of sharing, but to share for the sake of saving. We may not be the next Billy Graham or Greg Laurie, right? But we are used by the same God and filled by the same Holy Spirit and called by the same Jesus. We don't live near an ocean, but we can throw out these lifesavers into our own city. Now, go. We can shout it out to Tucson, and we can share it to Tucson that He is God, and that He is the truth, and that He is the only way. There are people out there lost in our own city, drowning in the desert.